1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 8, the best gift. Will you stand with me as we read from the precious, holy Word of God? Verse 1 says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away." And I want to call your attention to that first phrase of that last verse. Love never fails. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we praise you for the day. Thank you, Lord, for your precious word. Now, Lord, I pray that you'll take it and just surgically apply it to our lives. You know every heart and every need. You know, Lord, what we need to be right with you, to be a right servant. Lord, I just pray you would move among us this morning freely, addressing every spiritual need, and especially those who do not know you as their personal Savior. I pray that today will be the day that they call upon you for salvation. Again, Lord, open our minds and hearts to receive what you've prepared for us. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. So how is your love life? Preacher, that's personal. Well, I'm not talking about your husband-wife love life or boyfriend-girlfriend love life. I'm talking about your God love life. How's your love life? You know, Paul said that that the best gift, the best of all spiritual gifts, is love. Last verse of this chapter 13. Last verse of chapter 12, he said, earnestly desire the best gifts. Listen, I want the best that God has to offer. What about you? The best that God has to offer is the gift of love. That's what we're going to talk about today. And we're going to begin with empty endeavors and meaningless gifts. You ever feel empty as a child of God? Well, there's probably a reason for that. Let's go back and review what Paul said in the text that we read. Paul said, in dealing with the church at Corinth, he said, "Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels." Now, we know this gift of tongues have been done away at the completion of the Word of God. And we're not going to go into that again this week because we did that last week. But Paul said, "Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I become sounding brass or clanging cymbal." You know what a sounding brass is? Sounding brass was a gong. How many of you remember the gong show? Yeah, I remember that. Get up there, talent show kind of a thing, and when they got tired of listening to them, they'd hit the gong. I mean, it was over. The gong is basically just a loud noise. And the clanging cymbal is a cymbal crash. Paul said, I could speak with the tongues of men and with angels. But if I don't have love, I'm just a noise. Wow. He said, though I have the gift of prophecy And I know and I understand all mysteries and all knowledge. And though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Paul said, God could just give him the mysteries and the secrets of heaven. And he know everything there is to know about God. And God could give him the faith that with such faith he could say to this mountain, mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. And it would be done. Paul said, I could have that kind of faith. But if I don't have love, I am nothing. That word nothing literally means meaningless. I am meaningless. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Suppose you took every worldly possession that you had and sold it and gave the money to feed the starving children of Africa. Wow, what a wonderful deed. Suppose you gave your body as a sacrifice for the work of the Lord. He's talking about there, if I give my body to be burned, he's talking about becoming a martyr. Suppose you became a martyr for the faith, but have not love. There is absolutely no reward. You see, love is the one thing that gives meaning and value to who we are as children of God and what we do as children of God. Okay? We can't just, we can serve all we want to serve, but it's meaningless, it's useless if we do not have that foundational key ingredient of love. And you can put in these verses whatever you want to. You could say, though I pastor a church, or though I sing in the choir, though I attend church faithfully every time the doors are open, though I visit the sick, though I work in vacation Bible school, though I work as an Awana commander. You just fill in however you want to. But you've got to include the phrase, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Okay? You see, you can be as busy as you want to be, but if you forget love, all you'll be is busy and burn out. It has to start with love. I think that's probably the reason we have so many empty people in churches today. I'm talking on the inside. Have you ever worked and did what you felt was your duty to do? And after you were finished, it was just meaningless and empty? And you ask, why? Why am I feeling this way? You can trace it back to love. It's a tragedy today that I think this message will fix if you will truly be honest with yourself and God about where you are in answering the question of how's my love life? Are you empty? After you finish serving, do you think, oh, praise God, that was such a joy? You know, we had Vacation Bible School last week. Wonderful week. Vacation Bible School workers did an outstanding job. Thank you so much. But let me ask you the question. When you got to the end of the week, did all you feel were tired? Was that all you felt? Listen, it's okay to be tired after a week last week. You know that? It's okay. It's a long week. But there is a peace, a joy, a satisfaction at the end of that week that you know children have heard the Word of God, that you know children have been loved on and they have received instruction from God. There is a joy there. And if that joy is not there, there is a love problem. And it doesn't matter if it's Vacation Bible School, Sunday school class, teacher, pastor, choir director, choir member, whatever. Are you empty? Today, if you are, we want to expel the emptiness. We want to get rid of that empty feeling. And we do that by, number one, addressing our need to love God. Do you realize we have a spiritual need on the inside to love? We have a need to care. And Jesus, when he was asked by one of the Pharisees of his day, he said, he asked Jesus, "What is the greatest commandment?" Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, Jesus responded, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." And if that's not where you start in ministry, you'll never last in ministry. Okay? If that's not what motivates you to teach your Sunday school class, to minister to the children, to keep the nursery, if it does not come down to, "God, I love you and I want to serve you," you're not going to go very far. You're going to fall by the wayside. Why? Because love is a motivator. You ever think about that? Love makes you do things that you would not normally do. Think about it. Remember when you were young and dating? Remember how you treated your wife? I mean, you treated her special. Why? Because you loved her. Your children. Why in the world would we put up with children? I mean, think about it. Why do we keep them around? They're expensive. Every time you turn around, you're spending money. And it does not matter their age. If they're little bitty, you're spending money on diapers. If they're a teenager, you're spending money on clothes. And they can't be Walmart clothes. They got to be the right designer clothes. They got to have the right stuff. And what do? We open our billfold and buy it, don't we? Why? Why do we put up with... And so many of them are smart mouth anymore. You know? Have you ever, you know, took your kids and let them stay over somewhere else, and you come to get your kids and that parent just say, "Oh, he's so polite," or "She's so polite and so good," and you're thinking, "Who, my kid?" Because when they're at home, they talk back and don't mind and all that. Yeah. Why do we put up with those rascals? I'll tell you why. Because we love them. Amen. And because of that great love we have for Him, we'll walk to the ends of the earth and swim the deepest ocean and do whatever we have to do to take care of them because we love them. See, love is a motivator. And it's the same way in our walk with God. Why do you put up with churches, and why do you pastor, or why do you be a deacon, and why do you teach Sunday school? Because, I mean, look at the Sunday school teachers. They try so hard and work so hard, and they'll prepare, spend hours preparing during the week. They'll get here on Sunday morning and half their class decides not to show up. Why would I put up with that? Why would I keep the nursery? That's the big question. Why would I change those dirty diapers? Why would I chase the 2-year, 3-year olds? You know? I'll tell you why. Because you love Jesus. That has to be the starting point for everything you do in the ministry. Why? 1 John 4:9 says we love Him because He first loved us. I mean, you start thinking about what Jesus has put up with you, and it gets a little easier to love other people. Amen. But it has to start with a love for God. You have that need. You also have a need to love others. Matthew 22:39, the same question. Jesus had been asked, "What is the greatest commandment?" He said, "Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind." And then in verse 39, he said, "And the second is like the first. Thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself." Who's your neighbor? That's your fellow man. What's he talking about? Looking for an opportunity to love, to put it very simply. How can I show the love of God? You see, the thing about loving God is it can't stop with God. It doesn't stop with God. It spills out on other people. And I'm glad it works that way. What a command. Love your neighbor as yourself. How do you like yourself? I don't know, but I think I kind of like me. Don't you? You have a need to love. With a love that'll get you out of the pew. And cause you to show the love of God in the lives of others. You need that motivation. So how do you get that? You say, Brother Doug, I understand. I've been there. I've served and been just as empty as I can be after I served. And all I felt, I was glad it was over. Brother Doug, I understand. What do I do about it? How do I get that love? How that need filled? Romans chapter 5, verse 5, you have to understand. You can't develop it. You can't create it within yourself. But if you are a child of God, here it is. Now, hope does not disappoint us because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. If you are a child of God, when the Holy Spirit came to live within you, the love of God came to live within you. And what we often forget, we get so busy at serving and doing things and accomplishing what we're supposed to accomplish and doing our duty that we forget to just stop and remember why we do what we do. You just have to remind yourself. You have to stop and you have to ask, why am I doing it? I used to, you know, we all walk with the Lord. You know, sometimes you're on the mountain, sometimes you're in the valley, right? There was a time, boy, when I just got so pushed and I was feeling so empty. It was because I forgot. I got to doing my job as a preacher. I'd go visit hospitals. I'd study, I'd prepare to preach, and when people would call, I'd run, and it got to the point where, you know, I basically forgot why. So now you know what I do? It's not changed. It's still busy, and that's okay. But before I go in to visit with the family, you know what I do? I'll talk to the Lord. Say, Lord, I'm going because I love you. Before I go to the hospital, you know what I do? Say, Lord, I go in your name because I love you. And I pray that your love will flow through me so this family will know that the love that you have for them. Yeah? And all it basically is, quite honestly, it's not some magical conjure up something. It's a stop and remember who I am as a child of God. And that God's love has been poured out. I like Romans 5:5 because it says it has been poured out. And it paints that picture that God didn't just give you a little dab. He just filled you up with it. We got to remember to use it is the challenge. Because that's the way you get rid of the emptiness. That's the way you walk out of that Sunday school class that you've taught thinking, oh, thank you, Lord, for the day. That's the way you walk out of that hospital room that you've just visited saying, thank you, Lord, for allowing me that privilege to influence their life and share your love. You see, therein is the joy and the satisfaction. But it starts with love. Loving God and loving others. With the love that God has already placed within you. So the next thing we do, we examine the inside. See, this is our defining moment. John chapter 13, Jesus was talking to his apostles, and he said, now a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this will all know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. You see, love is our defining moment. How we respond to one another, how we interact in sharing the love of God with one another is what people see in us. It's what the community sees. You know something that just fills my heart with joy is when I do go visit those who have visited the church, and they say, "Oh, you have such a friendly and loving church." I say, "Yes. Yes, we do. We've got to have that love." So what we must do is we must be willing to stop and evaluate where we are. Okay? Are you willing to do that this morning? Say amen. If you'll open your heart and say, "Lord, show me." Say amen. Okay. Lord, we want to know where we are. So Paul gives us a test in the text that we read as he instructs us to examine our inside, our defining moment. He says, love is not. Number one, he says, love does not envy. Now, I want you to understand, if you're experiencing any of these characteristics, you're failing the love test. All right? Love does not envy. That word envy means to be moved with jealousy. You ever been jealous? None of us would admit that, would we? Have you ever thought that, well, they're getting a little bit too much attention? I wonder why they were selected for that job and I wasn't called upon. Why did they choose them to sing today? Why did they choose them to teach that class? Why did they? It's jealousy. Jealousy. That's not love, Paul says. Paul said, love does not parade itself. Love does not boast, does not brag, is what he's saying. Don't you love people who brag? I love to hear a missionary that gets up and says, "Boy, since I've been at this mission, we have built buildings, and I have won 30 people to the Lord, and I've served faithfully, and I've done this." I don't want to hear what a missionary's done. I want to hear what God's done, you know? You ever speak so that others would be sure to know what it is that you've done? You know what that is? That's parading yourself. God knows what you've done. And He's the important one. Amen? And He seeth in secret, will reward you openly. You don't have to tell everybody else what you've done. As a matter of fact, if you do, that's not love. Love is not puffed up, meaning arrogant, proud. Ever think I'm above that job? If you ever thought that, that's not love. People have threatened me on occasion, telling me I need to keep the nursery. You know what? I'm not above the nursery. I tease about it. I love those little rascals, don't you? I'm not above vacuuming the carpet, if that's what needs to be done. I'm not above cleaning the restrooms, if that's what needs to be done. Never come to that point where you think I'm too good. Because if you do, that's not love. Love does not behave rudely. That word rudely means ill-mannered. Literally rude. Have you ever been ill-mannered? Have you ever been short with people? "Hi, how are you today?" "Fine." "Is everything okay?" "Yep." That's not love. Sometimes I just get up that way, don't you? I mean, nothing has to happen. Beth says, "What's wrong?" "Nothing. I think the problem is I woke up this morning." You know? But you just remember, when you have those days, that's not love. Love does not seek its own. Ever said, "What's in it for me? What do I get out of the deal?" Closest I come to walking out of people's homes is when they ask, "What does your church have to offer?" I don't want people that wants to know what the church has to offer. I want people that think they have something to offer the church. Okay? what's in it for me mentality. That's not love. Love does not seek its own. Love is not provoked, irritated, upset. That's what that means. Ever been irritated and upset? How many of us have been irritated and upset? Boy, there's a few really good people here. You know, if you work in a church from time to time, you're going to get irritated and upset. But the key to it is not let everybody know that you're irritated and upset. Okay? I mean, it's, oh, you know, it's one thing. It's easy to get angry, but see, Jesus said, be angry and sin not. I'm mad, and buddy, I'm coming after you because you're the one that caused it. No. You be mad. You go home. Keep quiet about it. Talk to the Lord about it. And you know what? That's the best thing I've found for my anger. Just get on my knees and talk to the Lord. And when I get off my knees, I figured out I'm not nearly as mad as I thought I was. Okay? Listen, you may not... I mean, we're people. And as we interact, we're going to get on one another's nerves and we're going to make each other angry. But we don't have to display it for all the world to see and throw a fit for everybody else to witness. That's not love. Love does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. Basically, ponder on the wrong or evil thoughts. You ever do that? Does not rejoice in iniquity. Well, I got him back, and I'm glad I did it. That's not love. If you find yourself in any of these positions, my friend, you need to stop and be honest and realize that's not love. That's not who you are. That's not the Spirit of the living God living within you. That's Satan trying to mess up the love that God has placed within you. Those things are not love, but love is. Love suffers long. It's patient. You know what you have to be in church work? You have to be patient. Amen. Because it don't happen overnight. And you may identify an area that you need to work on or that we as a church need to work on, but don't expect it to be done by next week. Why? Because we're dealing with numerous people who have numerous faults, myself included. We're to be patient with one another. Long-suffering. To exhibit control even when circumstances are difficult. Love is kind, he says. Means to show love and mercy. You love? Show somebody you love. You know, we have huggers in this church. Have you noticed that? You won't walk around here very long before somebody's going to hug your neck. And I hope you're not allergic to that. Because that's okay. It's all right. It's men in a godly, I care about you kind of fashion. And it should remind you every time somebody hugs you, hey, that's the love of God flowing through them. See, that's what love is. Love is kind. Love rejoices in the truth, it says. Do you love the truth? What about when it hurts? Truth can be difficult sometimes. But always take joy in the fact of the truth. When your Sunday school teacher teaches the truth and it strikes home, have joy that God has given you that truth to correct your life. Love bears all things, it says. Put up with, and that means to put up with annoyances. You just keep on keeping on. Love believes all things, meaning never loses faith. Love hopes all things, which you never lose your hope or your expectation of God. Love endures all things. And I wanted to come to that because I wanted you to grab this. Love endures all things. That means that we will find you 10 years from now still serving the Lord. Why? Because you love Him. You don't quit. You don't back off. You don't, you know, well, somebody hurt my feelings. Well, get over it. Continue to serve the Lord. Why? Why should I continue to serve the Lord? Look how they treated me. That's because you love the Lord. That's why you serve. And Jesus never made the promise that it'd be easy. Okay? My father-in-law used to get on my nerves. He's a preacher. You know how preachers are. He had a... And he'll still tell you this to this day. He'll tell you, well, Doug, if it was easy, everybody would do it. Well, that's not really what I want to hear right now, preacher. I want to hear how right I am and how wrong, you know. If it was easy, everybody... Jesus never promised it'd be easy. But He did promise He'd never leave you nor forsake you. Okay? Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't blame your getting out of church on other people. Because it's not other people that run you out of the service of the Lord. It's your lack of love. And that's the truth. That's Paul's love test. How'd you do? How did you do? In closing, I'm going to challenge you to accept the enduring truth. The first line in verse 8 that I called to your attention from the very beginning says, love never fails. Do you believe that? I mean, this is a promise from God's Word. This is the truth. This is the real deal. If you want something that will always work, it's love. Love will never collapse. It will stand stronger than any challenge that you have. It will overcome any obstacle you face. It will change hearts. It will change lives. It will mend marriages that are in trouble. 99% of the time, if you don't know what to do, if you'll just love. If you'll just love, you can't go wrong. Okay? Ready? Let me change that. 100% of the time, when you don't know what to do, just love. And you won't go wrong. Love. Love never fails. But I'm going to tell you what happens. Love never fails, but people fail to love. And that's where we get in trouble. Oh, listen. I'm so thankful for this church. I think we've got a good harmony, a good spirit, a good love. Now, don't me saying that. That doesn't negate everything that's been preached. Because as we open this Word of God, and as I went through this list, guess what? I love you. I really do. And I love being the pastor of this church. But when I went through this list, there were a couple of thoughts come to mind that shot me in the heart. Saying, okay, I'm failing in that area. I need to change in this area. My love's not strong or that's not love in that area. You know, I mean, it hit me. But I did realize if we would heed Paul's message, the message of love, it will absolutely and totally change our life. Okay? Here's the challenge. Love never fails. Do you love? Then prove it. Prove it. Are you here today? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? You need to experience the beginning of love in your life, and that is the love of God as He comes into your heart and saves your soul. Are you a child of God? If not, Jesus... John 3:16. God loved the world, so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus Christ loved you so much that He died for you. to pay for your sin. Have you received that sacrifice? How do I do that, Brother Doug? Very simply, by going to Him in prayer and calling upon Him. Lord, save me. The Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You need to experience the love of God today. Maybe you're here and you know that you are a child of God, but you've let that love light get dim. You've been doing all the right things and occasionally feeling a little burnt and a little pressed and a little stretched, all because you forgot. Forgotten the reason. The basic principle, your basic need, the need to love God and the need to love others, that reminds you of why you do what you do. Maybe today it's time to recommit to that love. Rededicate your life. You may be here today and there's another need. Whatever that need is, I just ask you, listen to God and respond to where He leads you. Are you loving? You may even be here today and you've got this little grudge thing going on. We don't grudge, do we? Maybe there's somebody that hurts your feelings and you've been holding it against them. And you just need to love your way through it. Love your way through it. Maybe you've been at odds with somebody and they know you're at odds and you know you're at odds. Maybe during this invitation you just need to go to them and say, look, I love you. I love you. And I'm going to love you. And lay it down. Whatever your need is today, I ask you, listen to God and prove your love. Heavenly Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for this your precious word that, Lord, reminds us of our great need for love. Lord, help us to love one another. Help us to care for one another. Help us to live so that the world may know that we are your disciples because of the love we have for one another. Lord, we love you because you first loved us. Now we pray that your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.